Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Samach Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to Option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the second line from the top of Daf Samach Beis. On the side of our marked Gemaras, you'll notice the Nosei heading, the topic heading, and we've written Hukpalu Rov Hamikzos. Once the majority of the knives used for harvesting figs and for cutting the fig cakes after they've been harvested, once those knives have been folded up, so we learned at the end of our previous shiur that the figs that remain in the fields are mutaros mishum gezel. They are allowed for the general public and there's no problem of theft in taking them, and pturos min ha-meiser, and there is no obligation to tithe them, because at that point, once it's hukpuru roiv ha-miktsoyos, miktsoyos being those special knives for cutting the fig cakes, once they've been put away, the majority have been put away, the remaining figs in the field are considered hefker, they're considered unowned, and therefore no tithing obligation. Where today's shiur picks up, you see the double underline and triangle used. These are both series markings, and under the Mivneh heading, you can see we've referred to Maisim. There are incidents, stories, im Rabbonim, Be'inyin Achila, Bizman Shukplu Rov Hamitzos, concerning eating of the figs from the fields at this time, once the majority of the knives have been folded up. And as we indicated before, at this point in time, we assume that the owners of the fig trees have given up on collecting any remnant, any remaining figs. So the double underline, as you skim down the page, you'll notice highlights names, and the triangle highlights the beginning of the incident. So we continue now in the Gemara. Rebbe v'Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda iklu lahu asra. Both Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi went to a particular place, bizman shuklu rov hamikzos, at a time when the majority of the harvesting knives, or the knives used for cutting the fig cakes, have been folded up. Rebbe have ko'ochil, Rebbe ate from the remaining figs in the fields. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, lo ochil, Rabbi Yossi did not. Also marehon, the owner of the fig trees, came, saw them. Amar lohu, amai lo achli rabbonon, why aren't you eating hukpulu rov hamitzosu? Don't you realize that it's late in the season and that most of the mitzos have been folded up? The afalpikein lo ochel Rabbi Yossi Ruda, and even though the owner declared what he declared, Rabbi Yossi Ruda did not want to partake of those figs. Kosovar, Rabbi Yossi figured mishum sanyas milsa hu dekomar hodein gavra. This man was making his offer, but in a sarcastic fashion. Rashi says, Mishum Sanyas Milsa, third line from the top, Klomar, Me Roa Lev Hoy Omer Kane. Out of a stingy heart, he said thusly, Velo Mishum Ayin Yofa, not because of any feeling of graciousness, Da'adayin Lohiv Giron, as far as he was concerned, that particular owner, he had not declared them unowned as of yet. The Gemara continues, Rebbe Chamo Bar Rebbe Chanina Iklo Lahu Asra, Bizman Shehukpulu Rov Hamikzos. Reb Chama arrived at a certain place at that time. Havikochil, and he took from the figs left in the fields. Yoiv Lishame Loachil. He presented some to his servant, the Shame, his servant, and the servant exercised greater restraint, maybe greater piety, and he did not eat from those figs. Omar le echol, kach omar li Rabbi Shmuel of Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Chama says, eat from them. Thusly, Rabbi Shmuel of Rabbi Yossi told me, Mishum Aviv, in the name of his father, namely in the name of Rabbi Yossi. Hukbalu rov hamikzos, mutoros, mishum gezel, ufturos, min hamaiser. That once the majority of the knives have been folded up, then there is no problem in terms of gezel, nor is there any problem in terms of needing to tithe. Rabbi Tarfon, and here we have an incident that is quite profound, as you'll see, quite dramatic. Rabbi Tarfon Ashkichei Hahu Gavro Bizman Shuplu Hamitzos De Ko'ochil. That means that Rabbi Yossi was found by a certain man at a time when the Hukpulu Hamiktos, and this man found Rabbi Tarfon eating from the figs. Achte Besako Vishakle, this man grabbed Rabbi Tarfon and bagged him. He put him in a sack, and he carried Rabbi Tarfon off in the sack, Lemishte Benara, to throw Rabbi Tarfon into the river. Omar, Rabbi Tarfon screamed out, Oy lo le Tarfon shezeh horgo, woe unto Tarfon, woe unto myself, that this guy is going to kill me. Shoma u gavro shavke dvarak, the man heard that he had Rabbi Tarfon in the bag. Rabbi Tarfon was a great rabbinic figure. He heard that and he left him in Orak and ran away. Omar Rabbi Avo Mishum Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. Rabbi Avo tells us that Kol Yomav Shel Oisei Tzadik, all the years of Rabbi Tarfon from that incident onwards, Hoyam Mitztayer Al Dover Zeh, he was upset about his conduct concerning this matter. Omar Oili Shenishtamashti Bekisra Shel Torah. Woe unto me that I used the crown of Torah to save myself. In other words, by mentioning my name, Tarfon, so he understood that a great rabbi was in the sack and this guy was about to kill him. And by mentioning his name, he invoked the crown of Torah for his salvation. Eviyoma Rabo Bar Bar Chanom Rabbi Yochanan Kol Mishtamish B'Kisru Shel Torah Ne'akam Min Olam. Anyone who uses the crown of Torah for his own benefit, for his own personal benefit, is uprooted from the world. And so you can understand that Rabbi Tarfon was very concerned. Now, the obvious questions regarding this story will be dealt with as the Gemara unfolds. Now, the last point, that one who's mishtamish b'kisrul Torah is nekar min olam, this is derived through kal v'chomer logic. Kal v'chomer, and we have a long marking indicating the extent of the logic. The Gemara begins with a reference to a monarch from the Babylonian area who used the vessels of the Beis Hamikdash. Belshazzar's by name, Belshazzar is the name of that monarch. His predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar, had conquered Israel and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And his successor, Belshazzar, used the Beis HaMikdash vessels for his personal entertainment. And it Gemara says as follows, Uma Belshazzar, mind you, Belshazzar shenishtamesh beklei kodesh, shenasu chol. He used the holy vessels that, technically speaking, had lost their sanctity. So his use of them wasn't a violation of the letter of the law. They were no longer really sanctified. I just skip the brackets initially. Ne'ekar min olam. He was cast out of this world. Skip the brackets again momentarily. Hamishtamish b'kisra shel Torah shehu kayam li'oilam alachas kama v'kama. One who uses the crown of Torah, which doesn't lose its sanctity, it remains in its exalted position all the time, all the more so would one be deserving of ne'ekar min olam, being cast out of the world. Now we read this kal v'chomer skipping the sources for each point. So let's go over the Gemara now reading the sources. So we mentioned that Baal Shetzar, who used the clay kodesh, shenasu choil. What do we mean by that? That the holy vessels of the Beis Hamikdash became mundane. Shenemar, the pasuk says as follows: Uvolba pritzim v'chiluluha. Pritzim are the intruders come and they chiluluha. What does that mean for us? Kevon shepartsum. Once the invaders broke into the temple, nasu chol, the vessels that were there became common. And here you have Baal Shetzar using vessels that essentially are not holy. Ne'ka min olam, and he was uprooted from the world. He was killed. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Bo belelya kotil Baal Shetzar. That very night that he entertained himself with the Beis Hamikdash vessels, he was killed. Hameshtamesh bekisra shel Torah shukayim li'olam malachas kama v'kama. One who uses the crown of Torah, and this is what was bothering Rabbi Tarfon above, for one's own purposes, one's self-aggrandizement, all the more so is destined to being ne'ka min olam, uprooted from the world. The Gemara asks the most obvious question about this whole incident. For Rabbi Tarfon, kevon dechi ochil dukbulurov amiktsos have, Rabbi Tarfon, who was eating from the figs at a point in time that most of the fig knives had been folded up for safekeeping till the next season. Amai tsare el gavra. Why did that man upset? Why did he capture Rabbi Tarfon? Rabbi Tarfon wasn't doing anything wrong. Answer: Mishum dahavu dahahu havu ganvi le envi kule shosa. The man who bagged Rabbi Tarfon was a man from whom there were thieves stealing his grapes throughout the year. They came at Ashkeli Rabbi Tarfon when he saw Rabbi Tarfon in the area, Savar Hainu de Ganvan, he figured, oh, there's the thief. Yochi Amait Sir Nafshe. Once Rabbi Tarfon was grabbed as a thief, and it was all a frame, you know, or all a mistake, why was he upset? Why was Rabbi Tarfon so upset? What else could he have done? He had to save himself. Answer, Mishum de Rabbi Tarfon Oshu Godol Have. Rabbi Tarfon was a very wealthy man. And he should have appeased the man who captured him. He should have appeased him with money. He should have simply said, let me go and I'll give you a lot of money. It's worth your letting me go. Instead of citing his name, which in effect was invoking the Torah merit in order to achieve his own salvation. Tanya. And we have a Tanaic source that deals with this general topic. Lavo es Hashem Elokecha l'shmo b'kailu u'dov kabo. That is a posik in Dvorim where we are expected to love the Almighty, heed His voice, and cling unto Him. Shelo yoimar odom. A person should not reason or figure, Ekra, I'm going to learn Psukim, I'm going to learn the Tanakh, Shikruni Chacham, that as a result of that, people will call me by an honorable title, the Chacham, the wise man. Eshne, Shia Zokin Veshev Yeshiva, or a person should not reason that I'm going to learn Mishnah, I'm going to learn Torah Shebaal Peh, I'm going to learn the oral tradition, that I should thereby be a scholar, a sage, and be able to sit in yeshiva, to sit in, we'll say, leadership, in a Torah leadership capacity. All these two descriptions are people who would be engaged in Torah study for some type of personal gain. Ela, rather, lemoid me'avo, learn out of love. Love of Hashem, love of His Torah, love of His mitzvos, the sof hakovod lavo, and the honor that so concerned this individual before will come anyway. Shenemar, the Bosik says, regarding Torah, koshreim aletz boisecha, kosveim aluach libecha. Literally, tie them around your fingers, write them on the on the tablet of your heart, the Omer Dorochel Dochei Noam, the Omer Eitz Chaim Hila Machzikim Bo, the Samcheho Meushar. The ways of the Torah, ways of pleasantness, and the Torah is like a tree of life, that those who support the Torah, and certainly those who support the Torah through the study of Torah, will be meushar, will be strengthened, will be honored. Rebbe Elazar Reb Sadok Omer, Asei Dvarim L'Shem Pa'olam. Do things for the sake of the Almighty. For the Daber Bohem L'Shmam, and speak, converse in Torah study for their sake. Al Tase Matar L'Zgadol Bohem. Do not make them as a crown for your own self aggrandizement. The Al Tase Kordun Lios Older Bo, and do not learn Torah as a means, you know, for the sole purpose of using it as literally a kardom, as a gardening tool, an agricultural tool used for turning over, for aerating the soil. That's oderbo, which for our purposes mean do not approach the Torah, do not use Torah study as a means of enriching yourself. The Kal Vachomer, and we can apply the Kal Vachomer logic that we saw earlier. Mind you, Baal Shetzer, who used the formerly holy vessels, which had in the meantime become mundane, but he used them for his own purposes, for his own entertainment, he was uprooted from the world. One who uses the crown of Torah for self-gain, all the more so, he has what to worry about. The threat of being nekar min ha'olam. As we continue in the Gemara, we have some markings, and on the side we have the side of the Gemara of our Mark Gemaras, which, by the way, you can access by reaching us at gmarkings@gmail.com. The house shape highlights Rava, and the double underline you'll see highlights the expression Shari Lay, etc. Shari Lay in this case will mean it is permissible for, and we have to fill in permissible what as we go on in the Gemara. And we note under our topic heading, Sidra Shel Memra Shel Rav, we have a series of statements made by Rav, Be'inyin Ma Mutu Lutzum Rabbonin Loma, what is allowed for a Torah scholar to say? What is he allowed to say about himself, about his Torah learning? Nira Shemuvokan Leor Hanema Liel Di Osu Lishtamish Bekisu Shel Torah. The piece of Gemara here appears in the context of the previous sukkah about how it's prohibited to use the crown of Torah for your own self-gain. So now we continue in the Gemara. Omar Rava, Shari Leili Inish, it is permissible for a person, Lo Doye Nafshe, to make himself known, and we're talking about someone who is a Torah scholar, so he's letting people know that he is a Torah scholar. But Asra de lo Yadi lay, in a place where people simply do not know him. He's unknown in this particular place. And as such, he is allowed to make himself known by saying, I am a Torah scholar. The Rosh adds, most importantly, at the bottom line of the Rosh commentary, Ba'asra de lo yadile, kedesh lo yezalzalu b'chvoy teroso v'yanshu, so that people will not disparage this man who represents the Torah, and if they do end up embarrassing or disparaging such a person, they will be subject to punishment. So for the sake of the protection of the public, it's important for a person in a place that he's not known to let people know, you should know I'm a Torah scholar. Dichtiv fi avdecho yeres Hashem minu rav. This is a pasuk where the prophet, where Ovadia informs Eliyahu, who didn't know him. And so the prophet speaks about himself as, I am a God-fearing man from my youth. Oh, so one is allowed to inform people about his Torah scholarship. Elokashia de Rabbi Tarfon, then why was Rabbi Tarfon so upset when that's in effect what he did? The Gemara answers, because in the case of Rabbi Tarfon, he had a better alternative. Not everyone has the alternative that Rabbi Tarfon had. Mishum de'oshir godel hoya, he was a very wealthy man. Vavilei lefaisei bedamim, he should have appeased his adversary, his oppressor, with money. That would have been the best. That would have been the best thing to do. Of course, if you have that ability. If not, then, as we said, you are allowed to let people know who don't know you that you're a Torah scholar. Rava Rami. Rava raises what appears to be a contradiction. Ksiv, on the one hand, it says, V'avdecho yores Hashem minu Rav. The Novi says, the prophet says about himself, I am a God-fearing man from my youth. In other words, he's praising himself. Uksiv, and yet another pasuk says, Yalu chazar velopicha, let others praise you. Zar means strangers, means outsiders, others other than yourself, let them praise you, not your own mouth praise yourself. So the Gemara resolves this. Haba asra di adilei. One is in a place that you are known, so there's no need for your self praise. Let others praise you. In a place that you're not known, so there, as we said before, you are entitled to let your status be known. Omar Rava, Shari Le Litzumra Bonan Lemeimar. It is permissible for a Torah scholar to say Tzubu Mirabonan Ano. I am a Torah scholar, and therefore Sharuli Tigroi Beresha, that in the event that I have, let's say, a case that needs to be dealt with, and there are other people that also have a case, a court case, a legal case that needs to be heard, solve my case. Sharuli Tigroi means solve my controversy, my case first. Diftiv, and this idea of when you have let's say two cases coming to you simultaneously, you have to choose which one to handle first, which one to settle first, and one of the two cases coming in front of you involves a Torah scholar. You are to deal with the Torah scholar first to free him up and enable him to go back to his Torah study. And now this idea is learned from the following dichtiv, v'kidashtoi, dichtiv, uvnei David kayanim hoyu, and it says, now here literally we translate, the sons of David, King David, were kayanim. Well, that's not true. V'chi kayanim hoyu, were the sons of David kayanim? David was from the tribe of Yehuda. So why does the Pasuk describe the sons of David as kayhanim, ela makayin noitel barosh, af talmud chocham noitel barosh. Rather, there's a comparison or an analogy made between the sons of David, who the Ran points out they were chachomim, they were scholars. And as a result of their Torah scholarship, they have the same type of law applies to them that would apply to Kehanim. What applies to Kehanim? So when you have, let us say, something to that food, let us say, to be distributed, or honors to be distributed, the Kohen is the first one to receive. You are to offer to the Kohen first. He has first takes, if you will, first grabs. So we say, Ma Kohen Noito Barosh, Av Talmud Chocham Noito Barosh. Just like the Kohen takes first, so too the Talmud Chocham also is dealt with first, takes first, or as we said before, is his case is dealt with first. The Kohen Menolon, and regarding the Kohen, from where do we know that idea? We have a pasuk referring to the Kohanim. It says, you shall sanctify him, for he offers the sacrifices of the public to the Almighty. That is the same word from the pasuk l'chol davar shebekdusha. Whenever there's a matter of, let's say, holiness prioritization regarding matters of kedusha, of holiness, the kohen is to be featured, given precedence. the Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. Liftoyach Rishon, Ulevorech Rishon, Velitomona Yofa Rishon. The meaning of these different expressions, you can look into the Meforshim for more elaboration, but in the meantime, we take the Rashi simple pshat is, Liftoyach Rishon is to get the first aliyah to the Torah. Levorech Rishon, Rashi says, Bebirchas Hamoitzi Birchas Hamazon, to lead in the opening bracha for bread, where you have a group of people that are assembled, so he leads in the bread bracha, and he will lead in the Birchas Hamazon, the bracha after the meal. That's Levorech Rishon, and Litol Mono Yofa Rishon, the Rashi says that when there would be a distribution of food, so he is to get the first portion. This last point regarding the first portion at a meal, you can see is highlighted in the Rosh commentary. The Gemara continues, Omar Rava, Shori Lei Litzuber Bona Lememar, it is permissible for a Torah scholar to say, Lo Yahivna Akarga, I don't want to pay this tax. A targa is a head tax. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, this pasuk is basically an Aramaic pasuk. The Gemara will explain the key words of this pasuk afterwards. The pasuk reads, Minda blo vahalach lo shalit lemirma alehon. The Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Minda zu monas hamelech. Minda is a type of of tax upon the people. It is a portion given to the king. Below zu kesef gulgolta. That's a head tax. Vahalach zu arnona. It's another type of tax. The Ran explains what it is in detail, but in the pasuk that we read, Minda below v'haloch, three different types of taxes, says lo shalit lemirma aleihon. They are not that; those taxes are not to be levied upon them, and that's a reference to Talmidei Chachamim. So that Talmidei Chachamim are not obligated to pay these kind of taxes. There's more on this topic in the first perek of Bava Basra as to why that is. But for our purposes, Rava tells us that a person can say, I am a Talmud Chacham, with the expectation of being exempt from these taxes. V'yomar Rava, Shori Lei Litzumru Arbonin Lemeimar, it is permissible for a Torah scholar to say, and here we have a very difficult line, and I say difficult line if you adopt the Rashi approach to it. The Ran approach is a little more palatable, but here we go. It is mutter for a Talmud Chacham to say, Avdo denura ano lo yahivna akarga. Rashi says, Avdo denura means, nura is fire. Avdo would mean a slave or a servant of the fire. And look what Rashi says, Eved shel avidus kechovim plonis ani. I am a servant of a particular idol. Ve'eni roisili tein mas. And now nura shame avidus kechovim. It would almost sound as if Rashi is saying that a person can say, in order to save himself from this tax, these fire worshippers were exempt from the karga, from that karga tax. So, according to Rashi, and maybe you can debate this explanation within Rashi, but he's saying, I am the servant of this particular Avodah Kovim. Saying I'm the servant of almost sounds like saying I worship this particular idol, and people who were servants of the idol would be exempt from the tax. The Ran, and here is a much more comfortable pshat, the Ran says, Avdu denu ano, Eved le'ish, shehu koyein le'ovdei ha'esh, I am a slave or a servant of a man who is a worshiper, who is a priest to this particular idol, to fire worshippers. She'avodav, his servants, the servants of those who function as priests to the idol, they are p'turim mikarga. They are exempt from the karga tax. V'lohavi, the Ron goes on to say, V'lohavi kamoidim of izgachavim. This is not someone who concedes, who acknowledges the idol. The Muchamilsa, it's obvious to Lo'omar Hochi, his description of himself as I am a servant of a, of I am a, an Avda Denura, this idea is, he said it only Elefturi Mikagi, did it with the specific purpose of exempting himself from a tax. V'chikomar, it's Rabbonon, and the, when the Torah says, well, sorry, that was when the Gemara says, it's mutar for a Tzum Rabbonon to do this, Rabusikomar, so there's a big Chiddush. Da'afil Tzum Rabbonon, even a Talmud Chocham, Shori Lei Lemei Marochi, Dehain Svurin Lavinis Gechavim, V'hu Libo L'Shamayim. The listeners, the tax people, the government authorities will think that he's acknowledging the idol, but not so. His heart is to heaven. Kinechtiv Hashem Elokecha Esh Ochlohu, by saying, by making reference to the fire, the Almighty Kiviyochol is described as a consuming fire. So he's saying, I serve the fire, and he is thinking the whole time, me, the Almighty. Now, why is this allowed? My time, oh? Answer, Lavruche Arya Mine Komar. This is allowed because his intention simply is to chase away a lion, the lion being the government who's seeking taxes from him. So he's trying to chase away the lion. Nothing more, nothing intentional by way of idolatry, and hence we can be lenient. Rav Ashi havelei ahu iba. Rav Ashi had a forest. Zavne lebei nura. He sold the forest, which represents a lot of trees, and trees represents fuel for fires. So Rav Ashi had a forest, and he sold it, v'zavni lebei nura, he sold it to a, we'll call it a fire church. Omar le Ravina Rav Ashi oikol defneiver lo site michshol. By your selling them the trees, you're in effect supplying them with fuel for the fire that they worship. Is that not a problem of lifnei iver l'siten michshol, the Torah exhortation not to place a stumbling block in front of the blind, which for our purposes means how is it that you can possibly help them in their sin? Amar lei, Rav Ashi answers, roiv eitzim lahasoka nitnu. Most trees, most wood sources are used for heating, for light, not for worship, and therefore I can rationalize, or I can legitimatize or justify my sale of the forest, albeit to fire worshippers, but fire worshippers also need cooking fuel and lighting, and therefore they'll be using it for heter purposes, for allowed reasons, and therefore I'm not guilty of lifnei iver lo site michshol. We continue with the topics that we've been dealing with in the last couple of dapim. Person makes a vow, thereby imposing a some type of self-imposed restriction, and he says, "Ad ha-kotzir, I'm accepting upon myself this restriction until the kotzir, until the harvest." What does that mean, time-wise? Ad shi'aschul om liktzor, until it means that whatever you've accepted upon yourself as being forbidden, it's until the nation starts to harvest. Tzir chitim, avalok tzir sorim. Until they start harvesting wheat. Wheat's harvested a little later than barley, so even though they may have started to harvest barley, that's not considered ara kotzir, because ara kotzir is determined by when people begin the wheat harvest. Hakol lefi mokom nidro. Everything is dependent on where you made the vow. Imhoya bahar, Bahar, if you're located in a high altitude location on a mountain, so it's based on the harvest of wheat on mountains. Vimoya Babika, and if you lived in a valley, Babika, so it would be according to the time of year in which they would start harvesting wheat in valleys. If a person said, Ad Hagishamim, or Ashu Hagishamim, he used one of these expressions. He vows, let us say, not to drink wine until the geshamim, until the rain. What does that mean? Ad sheteri revia shnia, until the season's second major rainfall. Rav Shulam Leomer, ad sheyagia zmano shel revia. Rav Shulam says, until the expected time of the second major rainfall arrives. So according to Shulam Leomer, it doesn't seem to the idea of Arai Gshomim doesn't necessitate the actual precipitation, just as long as the time of that expected second rainfall arrives. Ad Shivsiku Gshomim, Ad Shiyetse Nisan Kulal. That expression, the vows not to drink wine, Ad Shivsiku Gshomim, until the rain stops, that would mean until the entire month of Nisan goes by. Divrei Rebbe Meir. That's Rebbe Meir's opinion. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Ad Shiyavor HaPesach. The idea of Ad Shivsiku Gshomim doesn't not take in the whole month of Nisan, but rather until the passage of the holiday of Pesach. Pesach, of course, is celebrated from the middle of Nisan plus 7 days. Tanya, Hanoider Ad HaKayetz Bagolil. A person accepted upon himself some type of restriction of whatever, but he mentioned Ad HaKayetz, and he made the vow when he was in the Golil, the northern section of Israel. V'yorad la'mokim, and then he went down into the depths. He went into valleys. Afabish yegia ha'kayetz mokim. In the valleys, the harvest season arrives earlier. So even though the harvest season arrived there in the amokim, aser ad shegia ha'kayetz b'golil. The man who vowed not to benefit from something, and he said until the kayetz in Golil, so he is forbidden until that later date. Even though he's currently found in the Amokim, where the Kayetz has already arrived. Person says, Ad HaGshomim, Ad Shiyu Gshomim. What is the practical application of that? Ad Shiteru Revia Shnia. Until the second major rainfall occurs. Rav Shmuel Malomer, Ad Shigia Zmano Shel Revia. And of course, we saw this in the Mishnah. This is a quote from the Mishnah. Omar Rabbi Zera, Machlokes Domar Ad HaGshomim. The Machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon Leo is if he used that expression, Ad HaGshomim. However, Aval Omar Ad HaGeshem, Ad Zman Gshomim Komar. And that means until the time for the rainfall to happen. Here we have a problem that is so it's a recurring problem for us when learning the Dorim, is that the reference to Gshomim by having used the term Ad HaGeshem until the time of Gshomim, which time of Gshomim is referred to? So Rashi makes reference to the first rainfall of the season. The Ran on this very point mentions Ad Shigia Zman Revia Shnia, until the arrival of the time that you would ordinarily expect the second rainfall to happen. But as far as Rabbi Zera is concerned, the statement of Ad HaGeshem is not a controversial point between the Tanoim. They both agree that the reference is to an expected time and not an actual rainfall. Gemara raises a question, and this question continues on the top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Note that it's a long question. Meisvei. We quote a Tanaic source that you find in Maseches Tainis, the tractate that deals with droughts and how to deal with them spiritually. Meisvei, Ezu Zmano Shel Revia. What is the time of the Revia, the rainfall? Revia is a reference to a rainfall. Habechira Begimel, Beinenes B'Shiva, Afela Be'esrim U'Shloshetim Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir's opinion is that the first rainfall is on the 3rd of Cheshvan, the 2nd on the 7th, and the 3rd on the 23rd of Cheshvan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he has different dates for these three rainfalls. B'shiva, b'shivaso, b'esrim u'shloshah, 7, 17, and 23rd of the month of Cheshvan. It may be noteworthy that regarding the last rainfall, both the Tanakama, that's Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda agree, the 23rd of Cheshvan. Rabbi Yossi Omer, he has the latest dates. B'shiva asar, u'b'esrim u'shloshah, u'b'chodesh kislev, 7th, that's at 17th, 23rd, both of Cheshvan, and the first day of Kislev. V'chein oy Rabbi Yossi, Omer ein hayechide mis'anim ad sheyagir Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Rabbi Yossi says that the rule concerning fasting as a result of lack of rainfall kicks in only once you reach Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and at that point only the Yechidim, the Yechidim are the Talmidei Chachamim, they would start a series of fasts, but that would start only Rosh Chodesh Kislev. V'amrinon Allah, and concerning this source that made reference to an initial rainfall, a middle rainfall, and a late rainfall, so we say Bishlamo Revio Rishona, the value, the purpose of knowing the date of the first rainfall, Lishael, to that's at that point we know to insert in the Shmona Esrei the special phrase or portion that involves the request of rain. So when that date comes, that tells us start requesting rain in your prayers, specifically in the Shmona Esrei. Shlishis, the third rainfall, Lis Anois, for knowing when to start the public fasting. We saw in the source that the initial fasters would be the Talmidei Chachamim, but it has to do with what eventually will turn into a public fast. So that accounts for the first, the reason for knowing the date of a first rainfall and for the third rainfall. Elo Shnia Lamai, what's the purpose of the second rainfall, assigning a date for the second rainfall? V'yomar Rebbe Zera Lenoder. It has to do with people who vow. And the ikur, the main thing you don't see in the words, but we've written it between the lines, that when Rabbi Zera says that the shniyah is for noder, it seems to say even for someone who vowed ad hageshem. V'amrinon Allah keman az lo hadesanya, and we ask who would be the author, or like whom does the following Tanaic source go? Rav Shimon Leoimer, Kishamu Shiyadu Shiva Yomim Zachar Zeh, Atamoyne Bohen Revio Rishoino Ushnia. If you have 7 days of consecutive rainfall, you can count them as the Revio Rishona and the Revio Shnia. And we say, Keman, Rabbi Yossi. This follows the teaching of Rabbi Yossi. Before we get to the heart of the question, let us just explain this last calculation. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said that if you have rainfall for 7 consecutive days, you count it as the first and second rainfall. If you notice the dates above for the various rainfalls, when you get to Reb Yossi, he said on the 17th is the of Mar Cheshvan is the first rainfall, and the 23rd is the second rainfall. When you count from 17 to 23, you will find a span of 7 days. Whereas, according to the other opinions, you don't find that exact number, 7 days, between the first and second rainfall. So that when we ask what Reb Shimon Gamliel's comment regarding 7 days of rainfall will count as first and second rainfalls, the Gemara pointed out that is like Reb Yossi. But what's now the problem? After all is said and done, we were focusing on what was the point of having reference made to the second rainfall. It was, and Rabbi Zera himself said that that has bearing for one who vows. And it sounds, from what Rabbi Zera is saying, one who vows in any form whereby he makes reference to rainfall, even if he says ad hageshem. Ah, but what was said at the beginning of this second line from the bottom of Samach Beis Amid Beis? Rabbi Zera said there that the Tanaic controversy exists regarding vows, until the actual rainfall, or is it until the time of the rainfall? That is only if you use the expression ad hageshamim. But if you say ad hageshem, Rabbi Zeira said it means until the time of Geshem, and with the exception of the Ran, all the Meforshim, and this is where the question really becomes very clear, all the Meforshim said Ad Zman Geshomim meant until the time of the first rainfall. Here you see that if you use the term Ad HaGeshem, it will take you till the second rainfall. As we dashed underline just a few lines before the end of the question, Elashnia Lamai, Viomar Abizera Leno there. So that the second, the knowing the date of the second rainfall is for someone who vows, even if he said Ad HaGeshem. So that the vow will last, the prohibition, the self-imposed prohibition will last till the time of the second rainfall. That's not what Rabbi Zeira said at the beginning of the sugya, namely that if one says Ad HaGeshem, it means until the time of the first rainfall. The Gemara answers, Hahu di Omar Ad HaGeshomim. The Rashi, where you see the star, Omar Loch Rabbi Zeira, Hai di Omar Shnia Lenoder, that which Rabbi Zeira said, that knowledge of the date of the second rainfall has bearing for one who vows, Hainu Domar Ad HaGeshomim. Not like we thought that it's a reference to any form of rain reference in a vow, but specifically we use the language of Ad HaGeshomim. The term Geshomim is in the plural. That's Tarti Mashma. That implies two, the second rainfall. Omar Ad HaGeshem. But if a person vowed saying, I prohibit myself for whatever until the Geshem, in the singular, le'olamei malach ad zman geshomim shirevia rishona komar veloshnia, that is, as Rabbi Zeira said initially, that's only until, the vow will apply only until the time of the first rainfall, not the second. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.